The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, Random Reptoid, or Chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us, share your story, share your experience, because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you very much for joining me tonight. Before we get started, I do have to say, I think on a couple occasions I may have shared with everybody kind of the layout of AM 950 as kind of being the epicenter of like animal convergence. You know, I kind of look at this area as kind of like the second Noah's Ark, where, even though there's no ark involved, where all the animals kind of huddle together around the studio. For example, we have the wild turkeys. We have rabbits. I've seen deer. You know, I posted a picture last week about a snake hanging outside the front door, just slithering at me, you know? I mean, whatever, that's cool. So, you know, there is a lot of it. But today, the animal kingdom kind of broke in to the station a little bit, maybe more insect than anything else, because have you ever seen the film Kingdom of the Spiders with William Shatner? Well, this is the kind of the cheap AM 950 remake called Kingdom of the Ants, and they're all over the place here. They are like I walk downstairs and they are like ant traps set up all over the place. And you have, like, it's brown carpeting all over, but, like, it looks like the carpeting's moving a little bit because you can see some of the ants kind of moving around on the ground, which is really, I'm sorry, disgusting. And these aren't, like, small black ants. These are ants that you don't mess with them because they're going to mess you up. You know, they're big black ants that are here for, I think, a hostile takeover. I'm not sure whether you could put a saddle on it. You could probably ride it. These things are pretty huge. They're like raisins walking around. So really, really not great, I'll be honest, because as I was talking to my guest beforehand, I am going to be feeling like anytime I feel like there's anything, like an itch on my arm or something, that I am going to feel like there is a spot, like an ant crawling all over me or something. I mean, I don't know what to say, but all I know is that they have converged upon AM 950, and they mean business. And so we have to be respectful of their takeover of this radio station. Now, I do have to say before I get going here, AM 950 is not a dirty place, okay? I don't want to give the impression that this is a slum or something. It's the outside coming in. Like I said, we're in like some sort of, I would almost consider it swampland, where it's, and I know there's no swamps, but it's a big area of just, I don't know, bushes and grass and all sorts of things where all sorts of slimy things grow up and live and whatnot. And so we just have to kind of, you know, once again, just have to, I guess, accept that this is part of it. And so far, I haven't seen any in the studio. But I'll be honest, if I see one, like, start crawling on the board or something, I don't know if – I mean, I'm not afraid of ants, but they kind of freak you out when they're in areas that they shouldn't be. So, you know, hopefully there's no expletives or anything because I don't want to see them. So I just wanted to make sure everyone understands – the horrific situation I'm in tonight at AM 950 Studios. So please send all sort of love and light my way. Now let's move on. Wish me luck, folks, but let's get to the good part of the show. Suzanne Worthley is an energy practitioner and intuitive. She has been working with clients and teaching classes for over 16 years. Tonight we're talking about her book, Confident Empath, A Complete Guide to Multidimensional Empathing and Energetic Protection. Suzanne, welcome to Ghostbox Radio.
Thanks for having me. After that intro, I'm kind of bummed out that I'm not in studio.
Well, I could, you know, I can scoop some up and send them your way if you like. I mean, there's all sorts of ways we can handle this. You know, if you, you know, next time we have you on, we should have you in studio. It's
tag team. Tag team on the ants.
Right, exactly. It's us versus the ants. They're out to get us. So, Suzanne, we've been talking about having you on for way too long, and I really wanted to wait till the show went to nights and to get you on here, and you have a new book out. And, you know, first of all, I have to say that, you know, you said that you've been doing teaching classes for over 16 years. When I read that, unless your bio on your site's a little old, the first thing I think of is like, is that all? Because I swear, I mean,
It actually is longer. When you read that, I'm like, huh, it's actually 20. That might be an older bio they gave you through the publisher.
No, yeah, no publisher. But there's no publisher. It's your website.
Oh, okay. because my other one through the publisher, I think it says close to 20. But anyway, yeah, regardless, it's pushing 20.
Wow.
That's showing you something when you calculate, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, that seems more like it. I mean, I'm going to try to make this not sound weird, but, you know, it will because it's from me. And I've never met anyone like you, Suzanne. You know, you see things in a way I don't think anyone else I've ever met sees things. You see them on, like, you see it further out, and I don't mean, like, doing any sort of mediumship or anything. You just see things from my perspective very differently than anybody else I've ever spoken to. Has other people told you that before?
Yeah, pretty much most of my life. Sometimes that gets me into trouble because I do. I have a very different perspective. And I think that was from day one, you know.
Yeah.
And then you add in a little bit of oddity in terms of growing up with a mortician for a dad. And that has a whole new perspective on life. And you know, it just keeps growing as the years go on. So I've heard that before.
and I obviously I mean that in the utmost, like, as a big compliment. It's just that when you're like, thanks.
Thanks.
But it's just when you talk, I feel like that you are, when you're explaining stuff, you are seeing it unfold in front of you. Is that kind of, I mean, because, like, you just talk in a way that it's almost like you're just seeing it and you're telling us what you're seeing.
And it's funny that you describe it in those terms because, you know, I have been doing energy work full time for, like it says, close to 20 years. But prior to that, even through my corporate years, you know, I was a corporate executive that did international events. And I even did that back then. I thought and talked and spoke and designed and worked very holographically. And I didn't know anything back then as far as any of this world at all. I knew nothing about energy, but yet my way of still presenting, working, doing, creating was working the same. Way out, you know? So, yeah, I guess it's just inherent.
So when you say that, you're saying that this world that you're in now, even in some way, I mean, I'm not going to say it wasn't part of your life, but it wasn't very prominent then earlier on.
It was when I was tiny. I start the Confident Empath book out with the stories of me being 6 years old and seeing aliens on my ceiling and thinking everybody saw that and knew that. So actually it started out very connected to the galactics. And then as I progressively was getting a little bit older and realized not anyone else was seeing anything like that, including my immediate family, I started to tamper that down. And then in, you know, junior high, high school, that was pretty much on the back burner and eventually turned off.
I wonder why.
I mean, you know, because then you were really the weirdo. So, it was on the back burner for quite some time.
So, you know, the one thing I always think about, our mutual friend Ryan Headley, at one of the events that we all did at the Palmer House, he says he thinks that you're an alien. You know, and he says that jokingly, but is he joking? And I mean, this is going to sound horrible. I'm sorry, but where do you come from? You know, I mean, do you feel like that there is more of that inside you than you might give yourself credit for? I mean, when you're saying that you're seeing aliens on the ceiling at a really young age, there has to be something more to it. I would think.
Yeah. I honestly have felt my entire life and still do that I've never been here in a human incarnation before. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that I've done the human thing. I know that I've incarnated in other planetary systems as other beings, and I do lots and lots of intergalactic work and always have. And I feel very comfortable probably saying that I don't even say, oh, I was a Palladian or I'm, you know, an Orion. I don't even do that. I just know I come from essence. And I know that sounds a little weird, but I just know the essence of the architecture of our creational reality. And I know that's a mouthful, but that's what I know that I know. And it's always been that way. That's why I see things differently. And I understand the unfolding differently, because that's where I feel I come from.
It's interesting, because you'll say stuff to us, and it does, it's a second of pausing of like, what was really said here? Because there is a lot, and you give us a lot of terms, which I love, that we're not, and concepts that we're not familiar with. And do you see that as part of your reason being here and doing the work that you're doing now, is that you're here as a teacher? Do you think that there is a teaching that is trying to connect a lot of us to maybe where we all come from that we're not either familiar with or that we don't accept yet?
Most definitely. I'm just starting another book right now, and I've been writing up north for the last couple of weeks, and I'm deciding if I'm courageous enough to put down in print all of the actual galactic work that I've done over the years that I don't share. I really don't mm-hmm. share it with anybody except maybe some really close personal peers. But I believe that it's time to start sharing that information. In the past, probably, 6-7 years, the word starseed has been a pretty hot button.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, I'm a starseed. Oh, I'm a starseed. And it's becoming almost kind of flippant. And I would consider myself a star seed to some extent, meaning that I know that I haven't really incarnated human. It doesn't resonate with me. It never did, even as a child. I used to look in the mirror and go, why am I wearing this thing? I didn't understand the human form. I was frustrated and still am to some extent. So I think it's time that these conversations are had, because there's not tons and tons of people that struggle with this, but there's a really good quotient of people that are awakening to the fact that they may indeed be a starseed. Now, that said, every single one of us in some essence comes from the stars.
Yeah.
So a starseed is not even unique, because we all, in some form, in our soul self, our higher self, our avatar self, comes from the stars. And so it's a little bit tough right now to kind of navigate those conversations on, oh, I'm a starseed and I'm a Palladian and I'm a this and I'm a that, because I don't really resonate to any of it. And at the same time, I resonate to all of it. So it's a little odd.
That's interesting, because I can understand where, and I feel like if anyone has the right to say that, that's going to be you. Where, yeah. I also find that it's in a sense frustrating is, like you said, it's very flippant to say the term starseed. It's like, I with anything now in the paranormal, to be very honest, I look at everything with a great deal of skepticism if anybody yeah. says anything. But that being said, the way that it feels like more and more people are accepting of that, do you think that that is being accelerated at all? Or do you think that that's just kind of the normal growth of people starting to have a better understanding, perhaps?
I think it's both. I think that it's being accelerated because, in truth, if I take what resonates as my, you know, I only share yeah. my truth as mine. Take what resonates, toss the rest for anyone listening. But I believe, myself included, came and was activated. And I want to put that in bold italics and quotes. You're activated when it's time. And if you truly are a starseed here on a mission, your body will go through an activation process and initiation processes where you start to remember what you know, and it becomes very fast and quick, and it comes through downloads mostly. And there's very, very many starseeds on this planet and always has been, but because of the ascension cycle right now, they're being activated to push this process through. So it's both. It's becoming popular because more people are talking about it, but it's becoming popular because more are being activated.
That's pretty interesting. And I don't know, I find this all very fascinating. The other thing I was wondering about, there's a great deal of people on Earth that are star seeds, perhaps, what is everybody else then?
I think you would still consider that every essence comes from the stars, first of all, because sure. We do. We come from source. Whether that soul then fractals into choices of a human experience on a planetary existence on Earth, that's free will choice in between lives. And so oftentimes those people that are what we would consider not being a starseed would have incarnated over and over. And at that point in time, we were in quite a karmic loop cycle, meaning that there was the, you know, you be the mom and I'll be the kid. And now I'm going to be the kid and you be the mom. And now I'll be the mom and you be the kid. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of ridiculous cycle that we were in for eons here, which is no longer attainable on this planet, by the way. But that kind of a process had those people trapped almost in a loop cycle of human incarnation over and over, versus a starseed would not have chosen to come down and reap that kind of karmic behavior and get trapped in that cycle. They would indeed maybe go off to be interplanetary and go to, you know, other galactic or multidimensional existences, or understand essence itself, or understand being a planet or a star. So it's just different. It's different choices.
There are so many questions I want to ask, and we're going to get to them. And I also want to invite all of our listeners, especially if you are watching through a Facebook feed right now, put your questions in the chat. I'm sure you all have questions. This is a extraordinarily fascinating conversation. And what we're going to do right now, let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking with Suzanne about starseeds. We're going to talk about our book, Confident Empath, A Complete Guide to Multidimensional Empathing and Energetic Protection. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Last night's episode with Madame Pamita was fantastic, but I was technically a disaster. Boy, did I make a lot of mistakes, including having the wrong question of the week up yesterday. So I don't even talk about it for those listening on the radio. It just was like, we all have off days, right? I think it was the ants, actually, when they were trying to take over. I think they've been planning this for a while. So the question of the week, for those who want to take part, and you can send me your answer at comment@ghostboxradio.com. That's comment@ghostboxradio.com. Or you could put your answer in the comments if you choose to do so. But the question of the week is, how old were you when you had your first paranormal experience? I'm not looking for what it was. I'm just curious how old you were. And, feel free to, once again, send me a note, comment@ghostboxradio.com, or put it in the comments. That is fine. We're returning our conversation to Suzanne Worthy. She's an energetic practitioner, intuitive. She hasn't been doing this for 16 years. She's been doing this for 20 years. And, now we know. And she just came out with her book, Confident Empath, A Complete Guide to Multidimensional Empathing and Energetic Protection. Did it just come out, or has that been out for a while also? Like, has that been
only about 2 months.
That's not so bad. I'm not too far off. Now, how many books have you written?
This is my second book that has been published through Finhorn and Inner Traditions. The first one was in 2020 in March, not the greatest time to launch a book, much less a book on death. So it was called The Energy Healer's Book of Dying. So, yeah, it was a little tough launch during that time period.
That was right at everything shut down right at that time. Yeah. Once again, Like I said, I felt like you've been doing this for more than 16 years. We unraveled that mystery. But also, it seems like you've written more books than two books. So I was kind of surprised to see that as well.
Yeah, I have an ebook on Ascension on my website that I wrote, and I've done a zillion classes, and I just have so much material. I just have not done them in the actual, format of a book until the first one in 2020. So, yeah.
So there's a comment from John Marson. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of him. He says, love this lady, so gifted. We've all been doing this, like, off and on together, like doing events and stuff for not 16 years, but for, like, I've been working on and off with you all for, like, 8-9 years or something like that. And we hadn't for a long time. And then we all kind of got together at the Anderson House in Wabasha last November. That was really cool. I just really need to tell you how much I enjoyed seeing you again, or and also enjoyed, like, all of us kind of in the same space. I had missed that.
I missed it a lot. And hi to John. That was so much fun to see him and to see you and most of the ladies that showed up too. It was just, we kept saying that entire event. Oh my goodness. I don't think I've seen you since 2018. It seemed to be what we kept all saying. So it was, there was this lag period in there, but it was great to reunite everybody, I thought.
Absolutely. Now we were talking, and it's a great conversation we were having in the last segment, talking about starseeds, talking about the purpose of, like, where we as humans, how, where we come from. I want to do a disclaimer, first of all, that everything that you're talking about, I am completely on board with, first of all. I want to make that very clear, that I have absolutely, whatever you're telling me about this, there is not one part of me that's being like, oh, that's kind of interesting, but it's a little far-fetched or anything. I am completely completely believe this. So I just need to put that out there. But also that, you know, the whole starseed thing and the other, like, where the non-human, the non-Earth factor comes from. What is that? Where are we coming from? What is it, a race, or is it a higher intelligence? What is that?
Well, my take, and again, this is my truth. I believe that we are our purpose. You know, so many clients come in and say, I just don't know my purpose. And I remember saying that too, to myself in the mirror as I grew up. And I really believe our purpose is because the design intelligence, or God, or source, whatever, or creator, whatever word you want to put on that, doesn't have a body. It is a design intelligence that is made of infinite love. And design intelligence can't know itself until it is embodied. It can't know itself. It can't appreciate, know, and experience itself. It's like I tell my clients, you can't experience Hawaii. You can look at a picture. You can look on the web. You can get a postcard, you can do all kinds of things, but until you're standing in the water and you feel the salt and you smell the air and the whale is in front of you, you can't experience it until you embody it. And so this is what our human vehicles are. We are a design intelligence embodiment on behalf of Source to create. And our job is to individually create so that we can collectively return that information to Source. It's pretty simple, and people have such a difficult time. Why am I here? Why am I here?
Yeah.
Well, we're all here as embodiments, whether that embodiment is a star, a planet, a tree, an ant. I mean, there is different embodiments of Source energy, and they are here for a purpose. And now we know that ants' purpose.
Well, we know the ant's purpose, and it's a malevolent one. So
yes,
let's get that out of the way.
They all go marching one by one to find Greg.
They're actually trying to knock down the door right now. But what do you think the Earth would look like if we were all on board and comfortable with what you just said, that we weren't resisting that?
Oh my goodness, it would be so love based versus fear based. When I wrote the book Confident Empath, I talk about our body being a human vehicle, a design vehicle, and we need gasoline, which is our consciousness connection, and we have a gas tank, which is, you know, our auric field that holds our fuel. But there's only two kinds of fuel. One is fear and one is love. And this particular scenario that we're in right now is completely fear-based. Fuel is fear-based. And so if it were really working the law of one in the way that we were designed originally to be, our fuel would be love, and it would be a completely different experience. But we're getting there. It's baby steps.
Very baby steps. Do you think that if we were to eliminate that, because, you know, humans use fear as power very clearly, would that eliminate that, do you think?
You know, my job as a practitioner, a teacher, a mentor, et cetera, is to empower individuals and get rid of the power structures that are the false structures. We've been very tricked and manipulated in power because it's been false power.
Yeah.
When we return power and sovereignty and freedom to the individual, because we are co-creators, creators, then we can work synergistically for the law of one. But, you know, we were completely hijacked in our existence and kind of reversal programmed and completely controlled in so many different ways that it's taken eons for us to even recognize it, much less undo it. And the ascension process is undoing the mess. And that's kind of what we're seeing in the chaos right now. It's undoing the mess. And it doesn't feel good, but it's actually movement forward.
It is. So you think that it is moving forward. We're getting further towards where we should be.
Most of us, the quotient of, and this is not a judgment on anyone because they get to do whatever they choose to with their incarnation, yeah. Obviously. And those that do so-called wake up or become ignited or start to raise their vibration, they will do it on behalf of the all anyway. But I think it behooves each of us to do it for our own soul anyhow. So we are making progress. But remember, everything is micro-macro. Mm-hmm. The whole entire macro existence is duplicated in each one of us as a microcosm. So it's up to us individually to raise our vibration in our own essence and being, so that feeds the collective then.
Absolutely. So we're going from control base of controlling other people to control base of controlling yourself, basically.
And the control word kind of gets stuck in my throat, and I like the word command.
Sure.
Because we can command ourselves for sure. We can command of ourselves. We can command of our guidance, our higher self, etc. And that is a little bit different than control in my eyes.
Yeah, that makes sense. We're talking with Suzanne Worthley. She is an energy practitioner and intuitive. Her new book, Confident Empath, A Complete Guide to Multidimensional Empathing and Energetic Protection, just came out. If you have a question for her, feel free to put it into any of the Facebook chats that you might be watching from. If you are listening on the radio, unfortunately, I can't take calls today, but feel free to also send an email to comment@ghostboxradio.com. And if you have a question, I can certainly pass it along to Suzanne afterwards as well. You know, and I think that's really interesting about command, because command versus control, because command seems like it seems empowering, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's, mm-hmm. You know, I've never thought about that before, but you're right. That feels like an empowering term opposed to control, which seems very, just focusing on oneself and not in a good way. It's very selfish, I guess.
It's victimizer programming is what it is. Yeah.
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 So, you know, and you have all of you have this very well thought out explanation and stuff. I have to, where did this come from? If you didn't really get into this about 20 years ago, has this just been something that's been constantly refined over the last 20 years? It's very weighty, but it needs to be. How did you get to this point from going corporate to doing this?
Like I said, I started out extremely connected and intuitive and psychic, and then put it on the shelf, and it came back with a vengeance in my late 30s. And I mean, like, instantaneously. And I kind of explained that in the book as well. And it was like just 100% dropped in, that I could see, I could hear, I could know, my empath abilities were back. I mean, it was insane, overnight kind of craziness. And the sad part is I didn't have a me. There wasn't energy practitioners back then. This is the 20 years ago. You know, this is 20 plus, because this is before I was doing the work. And all my empathic abilities were back. And it was insane, because I was feeling everything and seeing everything. And so it just downloaded. And I did take some classes. I did read a ton of books. But the weird thing, when you're in alignment and you're on mission and they're bringing you online, you already know the book before you're finished reading it, because you just know.
Yeah.
And being claircognitive like that has really been tough, because you just download and know. And everyone's like, where did you train? And I just put my finger up and I just go up there, because it just comes in, you know.
And that makes sense. I mean, because it's you are so closely aligned.
Yeah.
So now your sister Lisa had done, and I have, to be honest, I've kind of lost contact with her since she moved to Arizona. But she had been doing some work as well. Were you two, like, did you two, like, start doing this stuff not together as in like partnership, but start to kind of open up around the same time? Or was that a different path altogether for her?
Yeah, actually, it's funny because she's quite a bit younger than me. I think it's 11 years difference in us. And Lisa always was a very troubled child. And then we found out later that all the ghosts were always talking to her. Oh. And we thought she was just kind of a nut. And so as she got older and started seeing the ghosts and the spirits again, we were at a channeling one time, and a gal looked at Lisa and said, "You really need to start embracing your talking to spirits and ghosts because this is your gift." And she said, "I can't, I'm scared." And she said, "There's somebody in this room that's supposed to do it with you." And she looks at me and I'm like, "Fine." So we started taking some classes together, and that's, you know, that's how it all started. And then we started to partner up on events, et cetera. So we made quite the tag team, and I really do enjoy it. She's kind of now living the life down in Arizona. She'll pop back once in a while, but not too often. But
it was, yeah, fun. It was fun. At least, I mean, I know you've done a lot more than just the ones that I had been at, but the ones I had been at were always a lot of fun too. It's one of those things that you don't always realize that it might be slowing down or come to an end until you kind of look back. It's like, well, that's been like 4 years. It's pretty crazy, actually.
One of the coolest things that Lisa does, because she is psychically connected to me, when I do this, we call it morphing, meaning that I push my energetic template out and I let beings come through me, whether they're, you know, attendees, loved ones that have died, or whether it's animals or whether it's fairies or whether it's aliens or whatever. She'll be able to see it, not only see it, but she can hear in her head and she can listen to them. So we tag team really great when I do that particular thing at events, because she'll go, "This is definitely for somebody in the room. It's somebody's uncle." So she'll be able to download a lot of that information from the dead people and be able to collaborate on that particular skill set. So that's always one of our most fun things we do together.
My cat, Dave, who had passed away back in 2013, I think, he came through. He came through the morph one time when you were doing at the Palmer.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, because you had mentioned a black and white cat came through.
Okay.
And I mean, you know, what do I know? But I mean, he's black and white. He was there. I was there. It just feels like, and I've had many other mediums, and like Nicole Hoppala, when I would do Reiki with her, she'd say that Dave was waiting for me all day, knowing I was coming. So, you know, it's just like he's always been there. And that's always something that's a whole other subject about how close your animals are actually to you, not necessarily the ants.
Totally. That's super cool. Yeah, I kind of forget what I become because it just sort of runs through my template. I don't remember everything. I remember some of them, but yeah, it's a big honor to be able to hold that space for people.
It is, and I think the thing, and I was just having a conversation with somebody the other day or the other week, and they were talking about someone who would morph and stuff, and they said, "Oh yeah, they have a, you know, a white screen behind them, and they literally change their appearance and stuff when spirits come through or whatever comes through to interact." And I'm like, "Oh, I've seen that before. I've seen Suzanne do that." And you know, once again, those are the type of concepts that you have to see it to believe it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it is truly, truly something when, you know, people are, you know, crying in the room because you are morphing into someone and having a mannerism that maybe someone hadn't seen a loved one do in, you know, 20 years or something. It's incredible.
Yep. Or your voice changes in addition to your face, and you grow or you shrink, and it's crazy. And to be able to feel that is even crazier. Trust me.
I bet it is. I bet. That's a good point. Why don't we do this? Let's take another break here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about Suzanne's new book, Confident Empath, A Complete Guide to Multidimensional Empathing and Energetic Protection. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Join us tomorrow on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. We're going to have on Erica Lukes, who you may have seen on programs such as Ancient Aliens and a lot of other programs talking about UFOs and stuff. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about alien disclosures, which is good because there's a government hearing about UFOs tomorrow. I think it's a congressional hearing, something a little bit more official if it still happens. It's going to be a very interesting conversation. Thursday, we're going to be talking about the McIntyre Villa in Atchison, Kansas, with the owner, Stephanie O'Reilly. We're also going to have Mr. John Marson on with us. We had just been there about a month ago, and it blew John's socks off, and I wanted him to talk about what he experienced there. And we're going to be playing some evidence that Stephanie has picked up there over the years of owning the place. And then, of course, Friday is Casual Friday, so I hope that you all can join us for the rest of this week. It's a very good week of programming. So definitely, if you can, check it out. Or you could always listen to the podcast. You can go to ghostboxradio.com, catch up on all the other episodes. I also have a page that's called Ghostbox Book Club. And on that page, I list all the books of the authors that I have on the program. So Suzanne's book will be there as well. If you forget the name of it, or you just wanted to see where you can get it from Amazon as well. And the book, once again, is called Confident Empath, A Complete Guide to Multidimensional Empathing and Energetic Protection. And Suzanne, I mean, I got people on the chat that are saying, you got to buy this book. You're going to love it. You're not going to be disappointed. So, I mean, that has to be good to hear. What made you decide? What made you decide that I need to write this book?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Again, the word empath has become very kind of popular as well in the past years. And as a practitioner full time, I find people coming in and they casually just go, "Well, I'm an empath," and I don't think a lot of them even know what an empath is, because an empath is completely different than having empathy.
Yeah,
and it is almost a very dangerous thing until we learn how to do it with some boundaries and some protection. And so I'm a full empath. I'm a full body empath and a psychic empath. So it's what I do for a living, and it's what I teach my clients. And I am finding more and more exhausted people and frustrated and angry and sick people. And they can change all of that when they start to understand the mechanics of empathing.
And so was it easy to put the book together because you are so in tune with it? Or did you have any kind of desire of like trying to figure out how to make it accessible for people?
No, it was super, super easy because it's all my curriculum and I've been teaching classes on this for a while. And so I just pulled everything together. And then because I do so much work in the field of multi-dimensions, I think that's why I wanted to make this book really unique. There's a lot of empath books out there, but they typically talk about vampiring human energy. And because of my particular background, I wanted to go multidimensional and talk about, okay, yeah, you can get vampired by your crappy boss, right? Yeah. I mean, or your mother-in-law or something like, or your kid. But boy, oh boy, when you walk into a timeline from a different building that is haunted, or if you are going across land that has had trauma and horror. I mean, these are everyday occurrences that no one gives two thoughts to until you start to open your eyes to something like this. And it's everywhere.
There's a kind of an off track here. There's a program on Hulu. It's on FX, What We Do in the Shadows. And it's all about vampires. And it's like, oh, vampires. Everyone does vampires as a comedy series. But one of the vampires is actually an energy vampire. And I thought that was very clever because you don't see that, but everyone talks about it. It's really kind of a fun program. But, you know, you're talking about multidimensional, and you kind of touched on it a little bit with your last answer. But can you explore that a little bit more? Because I think there's going to be people who may not be completely familiar with what that term means when it comes to all of this.
Sure. Can I back up just a smidgen and say
I
break it out with three kinds of empaths, and I think this is important first. There's a general empath, which is basically almost every human walking around. We all feel energy. We all feel energy to some extent. We can get overwhelmed. We can feel sad. But typically, the normal person will just shake it off. It'll be gone fairly quickly. But then you step it up to the second category called sensitive empath. This is, generally speaking, who are my clients. They're the ones that are really overwhelmed. They have, so much worry. They carry worry for everybody. They're trying to take care of everybody. They got lists for lists. They're exhausted. And they feel people's pain. They feel their anger. They feel their worry. And they don't shake it off very well. And they get sick from it. But then the third category is even higher, which is the psychic sensitive empath. And these are the people that will go into these multidimensional realms or into realms that they aren't aware of. These are the people that, for example, if they resonate to the ocean, they may go to the ocean for a beautiful day in the sand and the sun, and they come home depressed and sad because unbeknownst to them, they've taken the actual collective energy of the ocean home in their heart, and they're getting sick and sad from it. And they don't necessarily have a discernment process to then go, oh, this isn't even my sad. So then the logical brain will make it my sad within the next 48 hours, and it messes everybody up. So this is kind of the cycle. You can grab it from nature. Sure. You can grab it from buildings. You can grab it from items and objects. You can grab it from just about anything.
That's incredible. You know, I think about that, and you kind of touch on it. It's like, in some cases, not all, but if someone's having a bout of depression or something like that, that it could possibly be being overwhelmed by certain locations, certain places, perhaps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. And let's add even another element on top of that, which I go into as well, is energy hitchhikers. And these are attachments. And this is very, very common. And we know a lot of people in the paranormal world aren't really trained to understand how to do scanning and protection to the extent that they don't know what they're walking into. And oftentimes will come home with an energy hitchhiker, a vampire in a different kind of a way. Yeah. And so this is a very dangerous. You know, one time I went to a paranormal conference and a lot of people were laughing about the paranormal investigation hangover.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, my goodness, that tells me that you're really uneducated. That isn't funny. That's actually draining and very harmful to your field. And so these are the things that I kind of write about. But they can, you know, they can interpenetrate like crazy. It's nuts what we're doing right now. Timelines are insane right now. And we can cross over into other timelines in 2 seconds and we're not even aware of it. So this can be really detrimental to our health and wellness if we're not educated.
And I think it's important, too, and we kind of talked about this in yesterday's program with Madam Pamita, was that, you know, especially like paranormal investigators, like you said, they're very they understand the words of protection. Maybe they understand protection in the realm of paranormal investigating. You can't just leave it at paranormal investigating, right? I mean, you have to be cognizant of it all the time, everywhere you go, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I don't think people are aware of it. I mean, you can pick it up in a grocery store, you know? You can pick it up and think of it. You know, John, you were mentioning John that you went, Marson, that you went with. One of the greatest stories in the book, the client story is my favorite story in the book, I did with John and his team in Deadwood. And mm-hmm. This was the brothel. And, you know, in this day and age, that's an empty building in a strip center on a second floor that easily someone could sell off to, you know, an insurance agency. Well, okay, they don't have any idea that holographically you've got death, you've got pain, you've got manipulation, you've got strangulation, you've got, you know, and all of this is actual palpable energy that is penetrating through these walls on a daily basis. And your new employees, I don't care if you have a coat of paint on there, they're still going to know that energy unbeknownst to them, and it's going to make them sick and sad and scared. So this is real big stuff, and nobody really talks about it.
Now, is that what you mean by the timeline slipping to other timelines, or does that mean something else?
Well, you can do all kinds of things with timelines. I have a daughter, in fact, I think you even met Phoebe, and she was driving one day and had a panic attack and then proceeded to have panic attacks in the car for quite a long time until I finally got a psychic hit that we needed to go back. And when I went to this place where she had it, it was almost like a wrinkle in time, a wrinkle in timelines. Two timelines were kind of intersecting. And she got caught with part of her essence was in one, part of her essence was in another. And she could not focus. She couldn't breathe. She couldn't walk. She was hyperventilating. This was just a mess for weeks until we put her back into her body. And then I figured I might as well just go undo the timeline. So it's kind of like a licorice, piece of licorice where it twists. And two different creational realities, dimensional frequencies, will twist. And oftentimes someone can drive or walk through that and be stuck in two places. And it happens more than you know. Now, again, most normal people, if we want to use that word, mm-hmm. that are a general empath will just shake it off, right? But a psychic empath will not shake that off. And Phoebe's very sensitive and psychic and could not shake that off. So she was living in two timelines at once. It was very, very dangerous.
And so does that mean like the energy of the other timeline then?
Yeah, because okay. she's got like, and you can't make decisions. It's a push me, pull you, ten steps forward, two back, two forward, ten back kind of a thing all day long, you know?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
You know, and I've often thought about, and I've said this before, and I think if you, anyone who knows Photoshop understands a little bit better what I'm talking about, when I think about like the timeline, like me here right now, and the idea of layers, and in Photoshop you can have multiple layers for one image, and you can click on and off which layers you want to see. And I've often thought that that's a really good way for myself, at least, to understand kind of the space that I'm in, because there's a lot going on that I'm just not privy to or can see.
Yep. I just literally finished my membership. I have a Vibe Tribe membership, and I just finished my webcast right before this interview. And I was talking tonight about interpenetrating timelines, because this is a difficult subject, and it's very hard for us to understand that each dimension holds two timelines. So if we're sitting in third dimension, we're holding six timelines, and many of us are way up in four and five and six dimension, which means 12 timelines. So, and on it goes. So this is very, very chaotic in our life right now, and most people don't even understand what we're talking about. So it can be very confusing, right?
It will, and it, and I'm going to be honest, it is confusing, because there is mm-hmm. so much going on there. How do you even, I mean, are there, it's going to sound really bad, but are there certain people that you just feel like that they're just not ready to understand this type of information?
Oh, most definitely, and that is not a judgment on anybody, because maybe their soul just isn't here for that purpose at all. Mine is here for that purpose, and I understand it. But even my own personal family, I have a wonderfully dear relationship with my older sister, who I don't see quite as much because she lives in Alaska and Arizona. But when I see her, she's so cute. She says, you know, you're my sister, and you start talking, and I got it. And then 10 minutes into it, I lost it, and I don't even know who you are. So it can kind of even do that with intimate family, you know, much less with strangers. So,
you know, have you ever met anyone like you?
Actually, to be honest, I have never, ever met anyone that does the work that I do out in the grids. And it makes me kind of sad and lonely, to tell you the truth. And that's part of the reason I'm writing this book also. It's very difficult, because the human is trained to be validated outside of themselves. And the empowerment of the human is to be validated within one's self. And when you do that kind of work, there's no validation, period. So you have to really trust yourself. And I've learned very, very difficult ways to trust myself, you know, because I'm all alone in this, and it's been hard. But when I'm in the work, there's nothing about me that doesn't believe what I'm doing, because I just know.
Has it always been that? Has it always been that way?
It's coming back into this body that's more difficult. You know, you're in the work, and you know exactly that you're pulling a planet, or you're, you know, attaching a constellation, or you're moving a grid line, or you're placing a plasma ship, or whatever crazy thing it is. And then you got to come back into this body and be a normal mom in White Bear Lake, you know, raising kids. And it was really tough. So,
we just have about 2 minutes left. It goes by very quickly. Let's talk about some of the events that you have coming up here. You have one in August and one in September, right?
Yeah, I am teaching. I teach at the Palmer House mostly, because there's so many great energies up there and in Sauk Center. So the Empathing the Illusion is the event that I'm teaching August 4, 5, 6, 7, right in there, 5, 6, 7, I think. And it is a great event, teaching the actual book that we're talking about. And then in September, the weekend of 24, 25, 26, right in there, is my very last time I'm teaching my spirit search class. I've been teaching it for 10 years at the Palmer House, sometimes two and three times a year. So there's nothing wrong with the event or the Palmer House. It's just me. I'm retiring that event. So if you've always wanted to learn about ghosts and spirits, that is a fascinating event. It is perfect for anybody that wants to learn anything. We do psychic training. We do investigating. We do all of it. So both of the events are absolutely, I think, really great for people who want to crack themselves open.
And both of those events, you can buy tickets through your website, right?
Yep. Everything's on my website, as is my Vibe Tribe membership. All of the book information is there on Amazon as well, Barnes & Noble as well. So everything's everywhere. And it's just under my name, sworthley.com.
That's great. And I've heard so many people who have gone through the spirit one. I mean, actually, honestly, everything that you've done, I've heard so many people enjoy it. And back in the day when we were all doing the events, you would have a very condensed version, like the Saturday. And that yeah. that was very always thinking. People are always having the thinking stuff. And you were in a good way challenging people. That was really incredible.
Yeah, they're pretty mind-blowing, and it's really an honor to be able to hold that space. And I love the Spirit Search class. It's just time for me to do more. We're moving more into our own podcast. We have Energy Unleashed, and I'm doing more on Instagram for energy updates. And so just really moving forward and doing much more, kind of getting a broader base out there, because this is important information, so it's time to share it all.
Very good. The book is called Confident Empath, A Complete Guide to Multidimensional Empathing and Energetic Protection. Suzanne, thank you so very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Greg. It was such a pleasure. I hope to be back. We can have some more fun.
Oh, I would love to have more of these conversations, and I'll have to look up some of the words you said tonight, but I will do that. Thank you very much. Everyone,
thank you.
Everyone, join me tomorrow as we talk with Erica Lukes. Have a great evening, and we'll talk UFOs tomorrow. Take care, everybody.